My own children, when they're weaned, I mean, it's a time of celebration, isn't it? When my little kids learn to finally feed themselves, because I'm tired of feeding them. They learn to feed themselves. I'm tired of changing their diapers. Finally, when they go on their own, wonderful. Oh, man, I mean, it was so exciting. We exchanged Lay's, took pictures, had cake and ice cream. I mean, it was just a wonderful day in history.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, we're going to continue looking at the life of Daniel, a man who was known to be 10 times better than all the other wise men of his day. Pastor Wayne will help us discover some of Daniel's secrets, some of the things he did to become such a man of renown. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Qualities of an Excellent Spirit.
See, a lot of times we're good because people are watching us. We're good because we don't want anybody to get down on our case and tell us we're not. So what keeps us accountable, what holds us at bay, is that everybody might find out if we're not. So we're good. But what if you took that away? What if no one would ever find out what you would do? Now, would you be a man or a woman of genuine character? Let me tell you a poll I read about a year and a half that caused me to shudder. They interviewed some young people between the ages of 20 and 30. And this is what they said. If you're married, but no one would ever find out, in this life or after you die, it's guaranteed no one would ever know. No. If no one would ever find out, and that's a guarantee, would you have an affair on your spouse? Listen, 60% said, I would consider having an affair if nobody found out. 60%. Which means at the base, they have no commitment. And their commitment is there only because they don't want to get found out. Now, here's the one that made me shudder. They asked the same group, if no one ever found out, and this is a guarantee now, you won't even have to worry about it, would you consider killing somebody? 20% said, yeah, if nobody ever found out. And I thought, man, at the core of our civilization is not a default system of genuine character at all. So you see, just to be good is a reach for a lot of people. But Daniel said, no, I'm not going to make it a reach. I'm going to make it my default. That's where I start, not where I try to reach to. So it doesn't matter if people find out or don't. This is the way I want to be. And he is that way. And because that being his default system, God says, you're on your way to developing a spirit of excellence. Because without that, you'll never build a spirit of excellence. You have to have that as primary. And that's what it says in the New Testament. Let's read the scripture under 1 Peter 2. Go. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so you may grow in respect to salvation. In other words, he's saying, in order for you to mature in this thing called salvation, you have to, and would you underline the words, putting aside? Because in the original Greek, it means, therefore, having put aside once and for all, envy and slander and malice and all hypocrisy. Just put it aside because that's not you anymore and you're going to develop a new default system. And so his basic character was genuine. Now, how in the world did he get that way? Was he mentored that way? Did he go to a school for that? You have to remember, Daniel was in Babylon. He was in exile. They didn't have really nice churches then. They didn't have good schools like Christian schools. It was a foreign city. Then how did Daniel get mentored in that way? Would you write in that first bullet, the word to wean means to grow up. Daniel was weaned in the Lord. Would you write that down? He was, which means this. Daniel had, though he was young, he had to learn to feed on his own. He had to stand on his own and learn. Daniel, though he was young, had to spiritually stand on his own. See, no one is going to try and check up on you and see if you're doing devotions. Check up on you, see if you go to church. No. We've got to come into our own to say, doesn't matter if anybody checks up on me or not, I've got to be weaned, which means I've got to learn to feed myself. And that's exactly what happened with Daniel. Otherwise, we'll blame everybody else. Well, mom didn't get me up, that's why I didn't go to church. You didn't pick me up, that's why I didn't go. You know, I don't have a journal, so that's why I can't do my devotion. I'm too busy. And when we do that, we're constantly blaming others for our lot in life. And our lack of maturity is somebody else's fault. You will never, listen, you will never develop a spirit of excellence if you're constantly blaming others for your lot in life. Daniel said, I will not do that. It is my responsibility. And he was weaned in the Lord. And then you're on your way to developing genuine character, because I won't blame anybody else. I will learn and I will stand on my own. Otherwise, you'll always be at somebody else's fault. And you can be 70 years old and you will still be thinking it's somebody else's fault. When children, my own children, when they're weaned, I mean, it's a time of celebration, isn't it? When my little kids learn to finally feed themselves, because I'm tired of feeding them. They learn to feed themselves. I'm tired of changing their diapers. Finally, when they go on their own, wonderful. I remember when my daughter, the first time, I mean, Anna called me from the bathroom, honey, honey, come quick. So I run in the bathroom thinking someone was injured or something. Well, it was the first time that Amy sat down and, you know, did a plop, plop, fizz, fizz. And so, by herself. So she said, look, she did a plop, plop, fizz, fizz by herself. Oh, man, I mean, it was so exciting. We exchanged lays, took pictures, had cake and ice cream. I mean, it was just a wonderful day in history. And Daniel said the same thing. He said, I must be weaned in the Lord. Now, was that easy? Nah, listen carefully. As you are growing or maturing in respect to salvation, because you want to develop a genuine and a character that's your default, not your reach point, but that's just who you are. So it's your identity. You're not fighting against that. It's just your base camp. Because a lot of times people fight against themselves just to be honest, fight against themselves just to be kind, fight against themselves just to be disciplined in the Lord. Well, Daniel worked at it so much that it flipped and it was his default and he didn't have to fight against it anymore. But in order to get there, watch this, there's going to be a time where there's going to be a season in your life where you're doing the things God is asking you to do, but your flesh is fighting against it. I've got to be honest, but I don't want to be. I've got to be kind. I don't want to be kind. I need to be gracious, but I don't want to be gracious. I need to submit, but I don't want to submit. And you're going to have this fighting inside of you. You know what I'm talking about? There's going to be a season of war. Most people, listen carefully, most people never survive that season. They succumb to the flesh and say, it's easier just to do it my old way. And they flip back to the world's way of doing it because it was more comfortable then. But listen, there's going to be a season where you know what to do and your flesh is fighting. Like you're sitting in front of your boss and your boss says, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. I want you to be on time. And you're on the outside going, yes, okay, yes. But inside you're saying, I hate your guts. You're ugly. You're an idiot. I don't like you. As soon as I get out of here, I'm going to quit. When I get to the employee lunchroom, I'm telling everybody what an idiot you are. You're ugly. But on the outside, you're going, yes, yes. And you're going to feel like a hypocrite. You're going to feel like there's such an inconsistency, and you're going to feel like a fake and a sham. Now listen carefully. You're going to want to say, forget it then. I'm not going to do it because that's not my heart. No. It's not your heart you're talking about. It's your flesh. You're fighting against what the Spirit of God is saying, and your flesh is wanting to win. Because your flesh has been the base or your default for so long. You want to flip it so that your default system is genuine godly character. But you're fighting. And right there, there's going to be that tension. And what you're doing is, I know it's right, but I feel like such a sham because I don't feel like doing it. It's at that point where you don't give in to the flesh. When the flesh says, no, that's not you. You want to tell them what you think. Go ahead and tell them. And you just be gracious anyway. And the flesh yells, you just tell your flesh, shut up. Yes. Even though it sounds funny, that's what you have to do. And you've got to survive that season because there's going to be a season. There's going to be war. Let's read what it says here in Hebrews 5:14. Go. Those who are mature. Oh, did we fill in that thing yet? No. Okay. All right. But here's what Daniel did. He stayed with it and he trained until he was genuine. Because at first you don't feel genuine. But watch this. You keep doing what God is telling you, it won't be long before you say, that's what I want to do. That's the kind of heart that I want to have. I want to be genuinely gracious. And he kept training until the things of God flipped and became his base camp, his default. He trained until he became what? Genuine. Now, let's read what it says. Ready? Go. Those who are mature have trained themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong, and then what? They do what is? Yeah. Those who are what? Mature. What? You mean, yeah, those that have grown in the Lord. And they're developing a spirit of excellence. But you can't develop that until your default system is genuine character of godliness. How do you get there? War. There's a season where you're going to feel like such a sham. But let me tell you, and I've shared this before, sometimes it's going to be really, really tough. But I remember when I was playing racquetball, no one taught me how to play racquetball. I was not trained, but I just picked it up. And because I'm a scrapper, I did pretty well. And I was playing in a tournament. It was about a three-day tournament. And when there was a veteran coach watching me. After one of my games that I won, the coach came to me and said, you know, Wayne, your grip is wrong. And even though you're winning, if you keep the same grip, where you've advanced to right now is as far as you will advance. You won't get any better. But if you'll let me, I will help you change your grip and your stroke will change a little bit. And you will advance much further than where you are right now. And I'll help you. And I said, man, please, please. So the next day before the tournament began, he helped me change my grip. But when he changed the grip, it felt so terrible. It was so uncomfortable. I said, no, I like it this way. He said, no, you change it this way. It's an extension of your arm, and you hold it like this, not like this. It's like this. And I said, it's no good. He said, no, just stay with this. Even though it feels uncomfortable, stay with this because it will really help you. Because it'll help on your backhand. You don't want to do a backhand this way. You want to do it down this, and you bring your whole back through it, and you can just crack that ball in the back wall as it comes off the back wall. And so I played my first tournament game with this new grip. I got smashed. I hardly scored a point. And I was getting beat, and I turned around, and he was behind the glass, and I said, this stinks. He said, you keep that grip. I said, I hate it. He said, you keep that. I said, I'm losing. He said, don't care. You keep that grip. I lost every game that day. I got smashed. The next day, I was out of the tournament. And I came up to him, and I said, are you like working for the other side or something? He said, no, I promise you, if you work on that grip, you will advance. And it feels very uncomfortable now, but you stay with it. And you know what? After the next 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 games, I began to win and win and win big. And you know what was once uncomfortable? Now became very comfortable. And now I can't go back to the old way. It's the new way and it's the right way. But how did I get there? A season of uncomfortableness, but you go by what is right, not how you feel. And now, man, the ball was coming off the back, and I'd watch that, and with this new grip, man, I just go whap. And then, you know, the goal is to get that racquetball as close to the floor as possible so it just kind of rolls out. You know, the other people can't get it. Man, I was, bam, I was hitting it up against that wall. It was so low, man, my opponents would have to use a spatula to get that thing off the ground. I thought, whoa. But you know, for a season, it was so uncomfortable. And there's going to be a season that you're in that you're going to have to just train, and even though it seems uncomfortable, you stay with that grip. But I'm losing. Stay with that grip. Why do you lose then? I'll tell you why. You know, there was a season before I came to know the Lord right here. I was throwing bad seed in my life. I'd swear at people when I didn't like them. I would steal. I would use all kinds of wrong methods. I'd shortcut. I'd be underhanded. I'd just do whatever to get myself ahead. I'd sow bad seed. But listen, when you sow bad seed, what are you going to reap? Bad fruit. So I'd get in fights. I mean, I was in fist fights. I got, as many of you know, I got kicked out of my first high school. I dropped out of my second one because of fighting. My brother got kicked out of two schools. And we were just in trouble all the time. But we were sowing bad seed and we're reaping bad fruit. Now watch. I come to know the Lord. And the sowing of the bad seed stopped. Bless you. I stopped it. But that was an authoritative sneeze. But I stopped throwing bad seed. Now watch this. Even though I've stopped throwing bad seed, now I'm throwing good seed. I'm going to church. I'm trying to do what God's telling me to do. Obey God. Give like I'm supposed to. Be nice to people. But remember, I was throwing what kind of seed? Bad seed. Now watch. Now, because I've thrown bad seed, guess what's happened? Guess what's germinating? The bad seed. Now, I'm throwing good seed, but guess what's coming up? Bad fruit. Now, listen very carefully. This will really confuse you if you don't understand this. I was throwing good seed, and I was losing all my games. Everything was coming up unfavorable to me. People would be betraying me. Relationships would be breaking up. And I remember standing before God saying, God, I'm trying to do everything you're telling me to do. I'm trying to obey you and go to church, and everything is falling apart. I lost my job. You know, the relationship I was in broke up. Everything's going bad, and I'm trying to do the best I can. And you know what? It is right during that season that a lot of people bail out because they're serving God for results. Now listen to Daniel. Daniel sowing good seed, and his friends get thrown into the blazing furnace. And his friend said this, our God will save us, but even if he doesn't, it's okay. See, they weren't serving God for results, were they? They said, we're going to serve God. Doesn't matter what's coming up. Listen carefully. There's going to be some bad stuff coming up, some weeds and some briars, but you keep sowing good seed. And it's not God that's doing it. It's the seed that you and I sowed before that's now just starting to germinate. But you keep obeying God. There was an interview with a celebrity out of Nashville that's very against God. And the question was asked him, and just on television a couple weeks ago, why don't you serve God? Because he was asked if he goes to church. He said, I ain't going to church. How come? This is what he said. My brother was dying, and I asked God to save him, and so he wouldn't die. My brother died anyway. So if God's not going to help me, that's it. Forget it. And I thought, you're serving God only if he gives you what you want. But that's not a spirit of excellence. You see, a spirit of excellence says, I'm going to keep serving God and sowing right seed and obeying him, even if stuff comes up bad. And even if I'm losing games, I'm going to, as a coach says, keep that grip. Because it will start to feel comfortable after a while. But you've got to sustain yourself through the season. And it's not whether or not God's going to give me results. I'm going to choose. I don't care what the results are. I'm going to keep serving God. And then God says, there's a man, there's a woman whose default system has changed. Not based on results, but based on the fact that I'm going to serve God, period. Now you've got as your home base genuine, godly character. Once that's set, you are now going to start to develop a spirit of excellence. But it won't happen until that takes place. Some of you may be in that season right now, and you're saying, I'm sowing good seed. I'm trying my best, God, and it's all going against me. God says, don't change that grip. Yeah, but I'm losing. Don't change that grip. Survive. Stay with it. And Daniel did that. Now I'm beginning to understand. When they said, Daniel, we're going to throw you into the den of lions, he said, my God will save me, but even if he doesn't, it's all right. Now I'm beginning to understand when Job's wife said, Job, everything's coming up against you. Just curse God and die. Job said, nope, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now I'm starting to understand. why these were men and women that God guarded, because he said, these are few and far between. These are the people that will change communities and families and nations and generations. Not many of them. And so Daniel, he trained until it was what? Genuine. And then he trained until, would you write in number two? He was comfortable with his faith. His faith wasn't something contrived. It wasn't a philosophical thing that he had to keep trying to attempt to reach. No, it just became comfortable. Now, does that just happen? Nah, it doesn't happen by chance. It comes by training. It comes by obeying God regardless of what the flesh feels until the flesh flips and it's not your default anymore. And every day, you've got to keep your wits about you and present your day before the Lord to everything. Because if you don't, you'll get caught up in the world and you'll fall back. And that's why Romans 12 says, don't be conformed back to the world. Stay transformed. And in fact, in the message, it reads this way. Let's read it under number two. Go. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work life, and place it before God as an offering. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Yeah. You see, sometimes we say, Lord, I'm going to change that community. I'm going to change that job. I'm going to change those people. The Lord says, no, if you want to change your community, your family, you know what I do? I change not from the outside in. I change from the inside out. Because once I change you and give you a spirit of excellence, you can develop that, then I can just put you in that community and you'll bleed. And when your faith just comes out natural, you'll start to transform that place. Oh, not by something contrived, just by who you are. Those are the people that are so precious to me because your faith is comfortable. You've developed a default system. And I know that whatever test you'll go through, you'll do really well. I predict that because you have a spirit of excellence. Those are some of God's best. And then you're going to run into problems. But by then, God has no fear. You know why? Would you write in number three? Because the way I deal with problems depicts the measure of my faith. The way I deal with problems. Some people say, well, you know, how do you prepare for every problem in marriage? You can't. How do you prepare for every problem in fatherhood? Can't. In jobs? You can't. In life? You can't. In ministry? You can't. Then what? Are we hopeless? No. You develop a spirit of excellence because God changes things from the inside out. And when you have a spirit of excellence, I can just say, whatever problem you will encounter, you'll do well. You'll do well. Because it's your spirit, the size of your spirit, not the size of the problem. Then we find out and we realize what James means when he says this. Let's read it. Go. Consider yourselves fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way. For you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, the result is the ability to endure, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in. Yeah. Would you remember this in that last bullet? Every miracle began with a problem. You see, if you say, Lord, develop in me not the ability to solve problems, but the ability to have a spirit of excellence, then I know that I will do well in these problems that comes up. And I don't know what they are yet. But you know what? Because I'm willing to face them with faith, I know right on the other side of that problem is a miracle just waiting to be released. Because every miracle began with a problem. And when I believe you for this, Lord, and I walk through it, a miracle is released. I tell you, it's a new era in our country. It's a new era in our state. And if we're going to change families and generations, even in our own families and generations, then God's looking for Daniels. And those kinds are few and far between. But as we proved at the beginning of this message, every single one of you has the potential to be a Daniel, because I predicted that you'll do well in that one test. And you did. You did. So, no. that our state, our families, our generations need Daniels. And God is saying, I'm going to choose you to be those people. And our answer is yes, I'll receive that challenge. How many of you would say amen? We'll go for it. Amen? Let's do it together.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Qualities of an Excellent Spirit by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.